Hello and welcome to So You Think You Can Fanon. Please check the link tree in the description and see all of our beautiful, lovely, salacious links to listen to more. Thank you.
Cheers from the Midwest, brothers. Welcome to another episode of So You Think You Can Fanon. I'm your host, Sergio, also known as John Fanon. And with me here today are Kybert and Mattathon.
Yes, I'm Matt Fanon, actually, and this is Kai Fanon.
Ah, yes, we are all related.
Yes, by blood. Born in 1962.
Why do we have to be boomers?
Just to see if the people who are watching us would believe us. Because do we sound like boomers? Probably not.
I talk like a little man.
Okay, maybe you can be a boomer then.
Sure. All right. You guys get to be Gen X.
Yes.
So the topic of today's episode is that we are another con recap, two cons specifically, and a marathon hosted at Bowling Green State University, and another university con, Con Geni, in U of M, at U of M.
Okay.
So I guess we'll start with Anna Marathon, considering it happened first, and me and Kai went to that one.
Yes.
Hell yeah. How was it? So you guys didn't stay at this one, right?
No.
You guys came back the same day?
It was just the one day that we went. We went on Saturday. I'll start with the pre-con. We got some Waffle House.
Waffle House.
There were no fights, unfortunately.
Yeah, we went to, I think most of us went to our first Waffle House experience at, I have to show you the image on Google for this Waffle House.
It's very scary.
It's very like liminal horror-esque. Where was it?
Horror.
Perrysburg?
Yeah, I think it's Perrysburg.
What the fuck?
Perrysburg, Waffle House, Google Maps.
I'm sorry, I don't know what's up with the yawns today. It's just very intense. So this Waffle House, how was the quality of the Waffle House on the interior? Was it gourmet? Was it average?
It was an okay restaurant experience. I don't think it's worth fighting over for any reason.
You didn't see Big Bubba and Hoss inside grabbing each other?
No.
No, but everyone was staring at me like crazy because I was dressed as Paul Atreides in a Waffle House.
That's really funny. Yeah, so, Jim, were you dressed up when you went into the Waffle House?
Yes, I was Joker, but the Joker cosplay is more...
it's more low-key. Yeah. You're not wearing a cape.
I mean, I didn't have the wig on. I was in my, like my wig cap, but, you know, it's nothing out of the ordinary.
It's just hair. Who cares? Yeah. All right, so you didn't see anybody you knew in the Waffle House. Who did you guys go with?
We went with Kelsey, who's Kai's friend. I haven't seen Kelsey in 6 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Damn, that's crazy.
She looks the same, although I think she has significantly more piercings than the last time I saw her.
Yes.
That's really funny. Sergio, who did you go with? You had some friends that were going here.
We had Kenny and we had Zenny again, and Caleb joined us for the first time in a year.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I was glad to see Caleb again. It's been a long time.
When you got to the con after the Waffle House shenanigans, I assume nothing else happened after the Waffle House. I assume it was Waffle House.
No, it was like 10 minute drive to BGSU.
Nice. What did you guys do first when you got into the con?
We saw robots. That was the most important thing. As we learned that BGSU has a system of delivery robots called Starships. They're these little little dudes with they got GPS inside of them, and they
six wheels, which is interesting.
Yeah, they can store up to like 20 to 25 pounds worth of food. They put the order in there, they send them on their way. Although their navigation isn't the best, because they can be remotely controlled, but like automatic, like like when they like encounter a human, most times they just like turn around and go in the other direction rather than trying to like maneuver around the person. Oh. They're like, oh, time to just like
time to
go
just
the long way around,
fucking opposite direction. I would think all the food would get filled on, would get spilled all over the place. Does it have some method of containing the food that keeps it stuck in place?
Oh yeah, it's like inside.
Yeah, it's inside of them.
Okay,
they're not holding. They aren't like strapping it to the outside of these things.
Okay,
they're also biometrically sealed. So no one can steal your order.
Nice. That's a good design. Honestly,
it goes through like the app. So like when they roll up, you just like use the app, and the app's got like your biometrics, and then you can open it up.
The weird thing is they have trouble going over like the corners too. So you'll see them like repeatedly trying to go over like the line in the sidewalk.
The fuck?
They have some difficulties maneuvering.
They did have some starship casualties. They lost one to a train, and I think someone ran one over.
I would have cried if I saw that. They're so cute.
I would have cried because they would have lost by Subway.
My Subway.
That's awesome, though. So is that a brand or a company that sells those out, or is that a local thing?
It is a company. They've been mostly selling to universities. Starship Technologies.
We should get the Fannin Starship.
Yeah, hell yeah, that'd be fucking awesome. So what do you think is going to happen with that in the future? Not to derail it too much, but do you think we're going to have like fucking waves and armies of robots hauling food around in 10 years?
It would be nice.
Maybe. I would say that they work better. Like, obviously, like a university is a perfect place for them because you don't have to worry about losing them to cars and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, right, bike couriers are currently beating their asses because these things are $2,250 per robot. And obviously they don't move as fast as a person on a bike yet.
Holy shit. $250,000 a fucking robot?
No, $2,250.
Oh.
$2,250.
Well, $2,250 is much more reasonable. That's not nearly as ridiculous as it's still.
Hold on, I'll be right back.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, I said it's still quite a bit, though.
It's quite a bit.
And especially because, as I said, they have difficulty even getting over lines in the sidewalk.
But remember, you don't pay this thing.
Yes. At all. You would have to, like, do maintenance on it. And I'm not sure how they power them. I think it might be solar powered, but I'm not.
I imagine
sure.
The power is minuscule, though. The power can't be very much because there's not a big engine running these things.
It was really interesting to watch them at the end of the day because they all parked themselves like off on the sidewalk, like all in a line, too. They were just all parked and they would themselves.
Cute. That's
they
so
were
cute.
Super cute.
Would you like to have one in your house?
Yeah, probably. This is the only use of, like, AI and robots that I'm okay with.
You should get a Roomba. That just occurred to me. That would help you a lot with cleaning things.
No, I don't trust them.
Really? Why is that?
Yeah. I don't know. They're just, like, too cute.
What? They're too cute?
Yeah, they... I don't know.
Suspicious?
They're suspicious, yes. They become suspicious when they're too cute. Like, the starships look like a moon rover. So they're, like, cute, but they're not too cute. And they're not domestic enough. Like, you keep them outside.
They're just cute enough.
Yes. I wish I could have one to take my stuff with me to work, though. So I wouldn't have to hold my backpack. I could just send my robot to work.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I'd like that.
Would be
nice.
That
sounds like a really good use for it, actually.
Yeah, just to carry.
Being able to just carry stuff places.
Haul stuff. It would also be cool if, as a hiker, you could get ones with, like, all-terrain treads or something like that, so that they can carry your gear for you.
They've already got a solution for that. It's the Boston Dynamics dog.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That thing can go on all-terrain.
I like the dog. but
the military was actually
prohibitively expensive for consumers.
Yes, they actually had they had the dogs being used for the U.S. military, but they weren't quite good enough for the military. But now they're being used in like factories and industries to allow for people who would normally fly out there to check out the diagnostics and the biometrics of stuff, and then just run around as the dog and scan stuff.
Well, it'd be nice to have one that was like a pack mule, you know?
Yes.
So you could have really them cool. carry more gear.
Agreed. That's what they were going to do for the military. It was going to be a big pack mule. It would carry all their ammunition and stuff.
Mm. Well, I guess it just wasn't good enough.
Yep.
Too much of a pet.
There's a lot of videos on the internet of them trying to kick it over to make it unbalanced. And it keeps like righting itself. But it's very sad to watch because it's like they're actually shoving a big dog.
Yeah, that's really sad.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where we get into the problem of like robots in general. Besides like sentience and whatnot. It's like it starts to get sad if you mess with them.
I think that's sort of the problem with humans. We're too sentimental. We attach ourselves to things way too easily. All those movies and things of people being like, oh, fuck robots. Fuck, I fucking hate this shit. No.
I don't know, man. Whenever I have to use, like, a touchscreen kiosk, I'm like, fuck robots, man. Let me out of this. Let me talk to a person. Some of them I like, but a lot of them just, like, don't. Like, the touchscreen kiosks, a lot of them don't work properly.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a pain.
The non-anthropomorphical stuff, that's never going to be very appreciated. But, like...
Yes.
You can't tell me that, like, you get a little dude who's, like, a little tank that's 2 feet tall and carries all your stuff and says, thank you, Esther. Like, people are going to eat that shit up. They'll love that.
Oh, yeah,
they would. That stuff's adorable.
They would.
All right. So you guys got there. You saw the robots. What happened when you actually got to the con? Was there any robot presence in the con?
No. I mean, we just saw them, you know, driving around.
Right.
Delivering things. Mm-hmm.
How was the con venue itself? Was it a nice high-end place or was it like mid-tier?
It was in the college. So it was a college campus. Pretty standard college campus, okay. I would say. It was in like the main building. It was pretty nice. Not too big, but there were a lot of chairs and whatnot that would normally be used for like studying and stuff, but it was good to be able to spread out a bit, because you know there's a lot of downtime in cons, so while you're waiting for something to happen, it's good to be able to like actually find a chair to sit down rather than like all the chairs in the entire building are taken, so now most people are like on the floor. No floor con. Although we did have to be in line con for a long time to get into the dealer's room.
Interesting. How long were you guys in line con? You said a couple hours?
Maybe not a couple hours. Probably like a little
hour and a
under
half.
An hour.
You want to share the trials and tribulations of getting people to not buy their fucking tickets early so everybody got stuck going into line con?
I mean, there wasn't really anything to that. It was just kind of like nobody bought them early.
It's just funny how you all said, hey, we should buy our tickets early and be ready to go. And then nobody did it at all.
I mean, I guess I only suggested it to Sergio that we get them early and then neither of us got them. So that's on us.
That's fair. That's fair.
What else? We did have to wait to get in, obviously, for the admission. That took a while.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But again, like the waits were like an hour probably to get into the con and then to get into the dealer's room. I've never been to this con before, so I wasn't exactly sure like how many people to expect or like how packed it would be. And there were quite a lot of people, but it didn't feel super packed unless you were around the main floor with the dealer's room.
Okay, that's good. I like it when it's not too packed in. And
also, annoying. I gotta say, because this was a college campus and not like an overpriced hotel venue, mm-hmm. the food was pretty cheap and it was really good. I got a poke bowl.
Wonderful.
And it was really, really good.
You got a what bowl?
Poke bowl.
A poke bowl? Like a Pokemon bowl?
No, it is not a Pokemon bowl. It's like a deconstructed sushi roll that's in like the form of a salad, basically, but it's got all of the sushi roll components.
I like Sorry that. About that. I'm back.
No, it's all
Welcome
good.
Back. We've just been Welcome talking back. About the venue and Lion Con and stuff.
Gotcha.
And yeah, I talked about how the cafeteria was really good. Best con food I've ever had, for sure.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the venue. I mean, it's a nice university. I like BGSU. Mm-hmm. I got no complaints. Nice. They have a quadrangle, which I know quads are things in universities, but this is the first university I've been to that specifically called it a quadrangle, and we thought that was very funny.
My college had a quad, and it was called the quadrangle, but no one calls it that. They just call it the quad.
I haven't heard a place at OU called the quad, so I don't know. I would be very disappointed if I'm going to a quadrangleless university.
That's pretty sad to not have a quad.
It is.
That's like really quintessential is. University experience right there.
I say that, and I don't think my college had a quad.
So sad. Also,
I have to say this, because I think now they've gone to two university cons. Universities are peak for conventions, because like, think about it. You know, those like epic like lecture halls with the stadium seating that you go to classes with. Now imagine hosting a panel on one of those. That's awesome.
It's and the perfect. Chairs are built into the room, literally bolted to the floor in some cases.
Yeah, or you got like the ones that like the ones that like swing out. You've got like desks too.
Yeah, you can take some fucking notes.
You can give them a test.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah, give them a test. Give the con goers a test.
Hell yeah!
I do know the strongest trees in anime did have an optional test you could do after the panel.
It would be nice if you did like a Kahoot too, because you could have people put their devices on the desk. I don't know.
The nice big projector screens.
Yes.
That would be pretty fun. I'd like that.
And also built-in food court right there.
Yes.
At regular prices.
Yeah, instead of being hyperinflated. Yeah. I mean, I guess college food pricing is quite inflated anyways.
And not the kind of hyperinflation you'd find in the dealer hall either.
No. No.
Sergio, shut the fuck up. How were the dealers? Were there any really famous people there?
Hold on. I have one of our questions is the review. So I have to review Casa del Kai because I stayed there.
Okay.
For two nights, I believe. I actually have to give a bad review because my host did not provide me with ample back support the first day.
Hey, that was on you, buddy. That was on you.
I thought it was I thought I would be fine, and then I woke up and I was fucked for the rest of the day.
I'm sorry.
That's fine.
That's
I just only sleep with one pillow, so I kind of expect every other human to only sleep with one.
I mean, I thought I was fine with the one pillow, but I realized that the mat was like
hard.
Yeah, because like I guess I didn't notice it the first time because I was sleeping on my shitty mattress, and now that I actually have proper like support, one night without it was just like it was back to the shit.
Damn.
But I like Kai's apartment. It's nice and spacious.
Yeah, it's sweet.
I didn't have to deal with the honey boo boo child. I don't think
you got one dealing, but it was the next day.
Yeah, it was the next day. Yeah.
All
right. I don't think he bothered me as bad this time around.
No.
Well, that's
no.
Good.
He's He's getting better, thankfully.
The hole in the wall outside the wall that runs around your apartment building was fixed this time around.
Yes.
Yes. That's good.
Because it got broken right after Yoma.
It's so
after Yoma? I thought it was pre-Yoma.
No, it was right after, because I was like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if those dude, if Michael had fucking run into the wall?
Oh, so he did. He came back and he ran through it.
He might have.
Damn.
Never know. No, he's not that bad of a driver. I think it was probably a garbage truck that put the hole in the wall.
Probably.
Because it was a very large sized hole.
And then familiar faces. We did actually run into a few familiar faces. I saw my coworker Sam going into the bathroom, and I didn't get a chance to talk to him.
Shout out to Sam.
This happened later after you left, but me, Kenny, and Zenny ran into Ghost Pepper from IshoCon again. And we went to go see the Chunky Kong panel, which we'll talk about a little later together. Kong. We also went to Campus Poly Eyes, where I sampled their famous stuffed breadsticks that Zach and Jacob had been hyping up the whole time. Which
was
like
it good? Was it good?
So like I want you to it's basically like a pizza contained within like a breadstick. Basically, you'd order like pizza toppings and they'd stuff them into the breadstick.
Isn't that just a calzone but with a breadstick?
It kind of sounds like that, yeah.
Kind. I mean, I guess so. Yeah, I guess that's kind of what the gist of it was, but I will say they were pretty good with an asterisk, because we had to wait like an hour and a half to get them, and then they weren't nearly as good, but like when I took I took them home and I had them for leftovers, I had time to like sit and enjoy them. They were pretty good. Mm-hmm. They kept me fed for the next like 2 days.
Well, that's good. I enjoyed their cafeteria instead of Campus Poly Eyes, and I was glad for it. Because they had some good cafeteria food.
Because we decided to go get, like, you know, like, that kind of, like, it's like one of those, like, sport-type food places at, like, 4 o'clock during March Madness. So they were just, you know, up to their eyes in orders.
Yeah.
Damn.
And the, vendors.
Can we call ProZD a familiar face? We don't know him personally, but...
I mean, yeah, we saw ProZD and we saw Samurai Dan, who are guests that we've seen at many a conventions. I mean, I'm friends with people who are friends with Samurai Dan, so I would like to consider myself Samurai Dan adjacent, actually.
Fair enough. That was my first time seeing him, and he was really cool. I really enjoyed his panel.
Unfortunately, it doesn't look like he's coming to North, although that might change, but we will see.
I hope that changes. I'd like to see more of his stuff. I want to hear more stories of his. He's a good storyteller.
His stories are usually his stories are always very good, and I was a bit sad to see that he didn't have any of his story panels at
I know. It's sad.
And a marathon.
Hmm.
But we can get to panels later.
Yeah. So vendors. So I would say the vendor hall was pretty good. Although I feel like it was a little hard to find things because like ProZD had a table and we just like completely missed it. And I feel like they could have had better signage on the tables because like I accidentally stumbled into the Otaku Detroit table and they were like, "Oh, we're doing a deal if you get your Summer Bash and your Summer Bash and your IshoCon 25 badges here at the con rather than like online." And I was like, "Oh," and I turned around to everybody and I'm like, "Do you guys want your badges?" And they were like, "What are you talking about?" And I'm like, "Turn 45 degrees and read this sign. Do you guys want to get your
badges?" There was a ton of people in front of the sign.
True, because it was kind of a small room, and this vendor hall had like a line that like wrapped around, like down the hall, wrapped around.
Long.
It was consistently long. Like if you wanted, like you had to commit to going to the vendor room, get everything that you did, and then leave, because otherwise you'd have to get in the line.
There was no going back in there.
Damn, that's crazy.
It was just a small room.
That was just the consequence of it. That's I guess that's also the one of the downsides of doing it at a university is that you're kind of limited on room space.
Unless you do it in like, I don't know, like if you did it in a separate building, like a gym building, I'm sure it would be better because you could spread out more. But obviously, you know, that would take some logistics to be like, yeah, actually, the dealer room is in a completely separate building. So that would kind of suck if that were the case. But it would at least solve the space issues.
Well, as anyone who's ever gone to a college before and walked to a different building, I would not have a problem with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't either, but some people would definitely complain.
Some people. Someone.
I wonder who. Anyways, from there, I guess we don't have to go completely in order. What were some of your favorite panels? What did you guys go? What made you guys want to go there in the first place, I guess?
To be honest, what made us want to go to this con was just to hang out with people, to be fair.
Yes, I agree with that. I also must say, back in the day, I used to watch a lot of cosplay videos, like people who do cosplay, and almost all of them were Midwesterners who would go to Anna Marathon. So I was always thinking, I want to go to Anna Marathon, but I'm thinking
I gotta get my shit going there.
Yeah, I never knew anyone who went there, so I just never went until now. So it was cool to actually get to experience it finally, even though I'm not like super into the cosplay scene anymore. It's funny because it's like now I have the ability to actually do it since I'm not limited as much by like, you know, going to school and whatnot, but right. I just fell out of it, so it's like, nah, doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, and I was finally getting a lot more comments on my Joker cosplay now that Mew wasn't around to steal my thunder. With we decided to dub that fan that guy, the Neon Genesis Gen Leon guy. He is now Mecha fan.
Mecha fan.
Yeah, or Matcha fan.
Matcha fan.
That's a good
one. Oh, I have a funny side tangent about matcha in general. Yeah. I'll bring it up later, I think.
Okay.
Or I can do it now if you guys want a tangent.
It's up to you. You do you.
You know what? It relates to the dealer's room. So in the dealer's room, I ended up getting a bunch of snacks, like mochi and marshmallows and like gummy things and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And one of them was matcha marshmallow Hello Kitty snacks or whatever. And on the back of the package, there was a warning that the product may contain lead. And I was like, what? Oh. Why does it have lead in here? And then I was suddenly paranoid after eating it. But turns out matcha is grown in fields with a bunch of lead. So if you have a lot of matcha, and real matcha, not just like fake matcha, because a lot of the matcha you get in the U.S. is fake. But if you get the real deal, it might have lead in it. Trace amounts of lead.
That's a bit scary.
It was spooky to see it, because I've never seen that warning on things before. With matcha products, but I guess I'm fine.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of,
100% sure you're fine.
Speaking of the dealer room, I was able to get the first Always Sunny merch that I've seen at any con. I just actually threw them on my computer right now. I have a Nightman and a Dayman sticker from the Nightman Dayman musical.
I was wondering what that noise was.
Oh, that's the paper bag from the
Oh, you should talk about what souvenirs you got.
So I got those. I also got some Helldivers. Nice. They aren't. Are these? I don't think these are stickers. Or maybe they are stickers, and I'm just not. Some decals. I got one that says Malevolon Creek Veteran. I got 100% liberated.
I thought you were going to say 100% liberal.
I ain't one of those. I got the Orbital Strike stratagem. And I also got a Persona 3 Persona 3 poster of the cast and the main character summoning Thanatos.
Nice. That's fucking cool.
That is cool.
Oh, question, Sergio. Since you mentioned the Mecha Man.
Yeah.
You know BattleTech, right? The stuff I talk about with MechWarrior and shit.
Batley
like that.
Tech, yes.
Batley Tech, yet. Do you want to do a Batley Tech novel at some point for the book club?
I would love to do a Batley Tech novel.
Fucking hate you. Now that we've done Dune, I guess I can say, imagine if Dune had battle mechs in it. And that's kind of sort of the lore of BattleTech in a way. It's weird.
That sounds pretty heretical, Matt. Are you imagining a world with thinking machines?
No, that is pretty heretical. Although something really fucked up came up in my head just when I made the comparison to Dune. There's also a jihad in BattleTech.
I'm sure that's inspired.
Probably. The funny thing is, it doesn't happen in remotely the same way at all, but it still is called a jihad. Anyways, back to the con. You talked about Mecha Man. Were there any other chuds? Was there a swath of them or just the one?
Mecha Fan was at what's it called? IshoCon. I don't think we ran into any chuds at this con. I think not being a panelist at a con, you in generally will run into chuds less.
Yes.
We didn't really have any like people interactions that I say were like negative, I would say.
I didn't even really have interactions with like many people outside of our group that we went with.
Other than there was this kind of helpful guy at the beginning who were like, because we were like, what the hell are those? We were into the robots, and he goes, oh, you guys never been here? Those are starships. And then he like gave us directions.
Yeah, he was nice. Yeah, shout out to that guy.
Navigator.
It's nice. It's nice. Pretty good. So good a number of anti-chuds. What was the best panel that you went there to see?
Oh, yeah. So panels. So we went to Samurai Dan's Two Sword class, which is a little demonstration where Samurai Dan teaches you the ropes of using two swords, obviously. And he told this really funny story about how like he was in the process of like divorcing his like his first wife. He needed money, and like MMA was just like starting to be like a thing. Kind of. There wasn't really any regulations, but he got like a gig to go fight some guy in Alaska. So like he goes up there and like they tell him like, all right, Dan, listen, you can't go teacher mode during this fight. You just need to just put this guy in the ground before he gets hurt. All right. And Dan's like, all right, I'll take him out. And this guy was basically like fumbling all over the place, and Dan's a big guy. He's like 6'7", and this dude was like 5'6", and he was gonna finish him off with like a knee to the chin, but he like stopped halfway through because he was like, I'm gonna rip this dude's head off. And like he didn't knock him out in the first round. He like stopped him in the middle of a move, and then like was like, dude, what are you doing? You're fucking this up. That's not how you're supposed to do it. And they like pulled him to the corner. I'm like, Dan, we told you not to go teacher mode. You need to knock this guy out before he gets hurt. And it's like, I think you're I think these things are like not mutually exclusive. Like, I think I have to hurt this guy to put him out. But he knocks him out with a single punch in the next round. And then he calls his girlfriend, who's now his wife, afterwards, and she goes, you knocked him out in the first round, right? And he's like, no, I did it in the second round. And then she hung up on him.
He's hilarious. He I really hope guy. He's at North so I can see more of his stuff.
Yeah, he usually does a dog panel because he has Akitas, which are the ancient Japanese war dogs.
So cute. I love
them. But he said he'd do that panel next year, but he didn't do it this time. They only like got like the sword classes. Which are good time, but I enjoy his Because he does like a, there's a 2-hour one that's just like a sword demonstration. He does a lot of the like slicing through bamboo and other like tricks like that. He has one called Real Sword or Piece of Crap, where he teaches you how to identify a real sword if you're, you know, going to a convention and somebody's trying to sell you what they claim is a real sword, how you can figure out if it's, you know, a real thing or a piece of shit. Or there's one he does, it's an 18 plus panel called I'm So Dumb, which is him telling about like crazy con stories related to him being like a boomer and not knowing what Yaoi is.
Oh my God.
He also does a Cards Against Humanity panel that's also really fun. And he, every time he wears this shirt during it that says I'm not gay, but $20 is $20.
Oh, that's awesome.
He sounds fucking amazing. I love that guy already, and I've never seen him.
No, he is like one of the few people I can say he is a straight badass, like for real. But he's also like your goofy uncle.
He's so cool.
Yes, he is.
What else did we see? We went to ProZD.
Yeah, ProZD was doing his rating your husband's and wife's live. And probably my favorite part of the panel, I don't know if you heard this, Kai, but he goes, I think he was talking about, I don't know who he was talking about. I mean, maybe it was the girl from Saga of Tanya the Evil or something like that. And he was like, who doesn't love some terrorism? And I turned to Kenny, and at the same time we go, hell yeah, brother. Cheers from Iraq.
Oh my gosh. Terrible. Terrible souls.
ProZD also gave the Rajang from Monster Hunter a 2.4 out of 5.
That is much higher than he should have given it.
What? Damn. The Rajang is a top tier waifu.
I hate that creature.
Ugh. Kai can't hate the Rajang any more than he already does, which is saying a lot. Because Kai really hates that thing.
Oh, before the panel started, whoever was running the pre-panel stuff for that put on baby sensory videos, so the entire audience was just watching, like, fruits and vegetables dance along the screen to music, and it was actually very soothing.
They fucking went crazy for it, didn't they?
Yeah, everyone in the audience was going nuts, and then, when they turned it off and ProZD got on stage, we all booed to turn off the baby sensory video.
I heard he also raided all the Tetraminos, but I wasn't there for that.
He did. That was really funny.
What was his favorite?
Oh, I forget. I don't remember.
What is your favorite Tetramino?
Let me look at him again. Let me see.
I'm a big fan of wine. That's what the Tetris blocks are called.
Oh.
Yeah, like dominoes. Fuck,
that's right. I forgot about that.
Tetrominoes.
I like the light blue just line. I think he's nice and dependable.
Okay.
I think is a runner up, just the square.
Yeah. I think he rated the line the highest.
I like the Z.
Evil.
I like the T. I think it's solid. Very strong.
Okay.
He's got a protrusion.
Yes. Hey, it's a very handy shape when you need him.
That is true.
I think the best parts of the panel were where he doesn't know what the character is. He's like, all right, sell this character to me. And they're like, and then someone would be like, well, they're a child. You're not helping your case here, buddy. Oh, well, they're a psychopath.
Still not.
Do you know how to sell anything to anybody?
The panel's unhinged.
I wanted to say Fade Ralph. I wanted to give the opinion of Fade Ralph.
Well, he's a 5 out of 5, great. Of course.
Of course, of course, of course.
I can fix him.
Because he's a psychopath, like how everyone in the audience seemed to like their things. So he fits.
Mm-hmm.
Bald. What's not to love?
The baldness. He rated Lazelle pretty lowly, but that he redeemed himself by saying Karlach is best girl.
Okay, she that's is. Pretty good. That's pretty good.
Because I know you got to suggest one. Who did you say? Somebody from Rosario Vampire.
Oh yeah, Mocha from Rosario.
Okay, she's ace. She's wonderful. She's yes. the best.
Yeah, he really seemed to like her like super Giga Stacy vampire form. Which is true.
Nobody can resist the Giga Stacy vampire.
The one that I was also hoping to say is Philip from Futo PI, specifically, now that Philip is an anime boy.
Oh fuck, you're right. God, that's hilarious.
We should have said Baron Harkonnen.
No! Fuck no. That would be horrible.
And then after that was Kaiwa and Hofer, but we saw the Chunky Kong panel. Alright, so it's a backstory. So the year that they decided, which I think was 2018, that they were going to have Anime Marathon be a 2-day con, they mm-hmm. didn't have enough panelists to fill spots, so staff was. And they had like 30 minutes at the end of the night, so like I think that'd be like 10:30 to 11, I think, or maybe it was 11:30 to midnight. So what the guy does is that in this 30-minute block of time, they have nothing go. He writes, he changes it to a color that wasn't in the color coding and writes Chunky Kong. And was like, nobody's gonna show up. Like, nobody's gonna show up to this. It was just a meme. But then people started filling up. So he was like, shit, what do I do? So he quickly started like making something in like a PowerPoint. And it was just a slide that says, I apologize to everybody, but Chunky Kong has since passed away and will be unable to come to the panel. So the panel was just people going up and saying some words about what Chunky Kong did for them. And then he turned it into like a meme panel where he started adding lore to the Chunky Kong mythos, like how he accidentally was responsible for World War II because he beat Hitler in getting into art school, amongst other things. We all sang the DK rap, which I think was the highlight of it. And we all saluted Chunky to the theme of the national anthem. And then at the end, we watched like a heartfelt like Chunky AMV while like putting the flashlights on our phones and waving them back and forth.
Oh my god.
American hero. Chunky Kong.
That's so beautiful. I love that.
We also learned about how horny the internet is for Tiny Kong. Even to the point where there was like a Reddit post about the trailer for the Mario movie, and there was like a very blurry image of like the back of like a Kong's head during the Mario Kart scene, and some guy was like, "Guys, do you think this is Tiny Kong? I think this is a Tiny Kong tease." And the guy's like, "Bro, what if they were gonna cameo any like Mario character, it would be front and center and not the fucking back of their head for 5 seconds, because Chunky Kong is in the Mario movie, fully rendered in all of his glory."
Wonderful. What does Tiny Kong look like?
She is a small female Kong. She kind of dresses like a hippie.
A femoid.
Femoid.
Yeah, she looks like...
I could definitely see her being furry bait in the higher...
So this is her original design. And then they...
disgusting.
She got yassified.
Yes, that did not load. Yeah, they very much...
I don't know, man. Her. I don't know. That's just creepy looking to me, but... You know,
I mean, man, you hate
I'm
monkeys,
afraid of any primates, so...
What are your thoughts on King Kong? Do you like King Kong? No,
I do not. Bad.
What are your thoughts about the Kong himself, Donkey Kong?
Bad.
But your cousin loves Donkey Kong, right?
Yeah, my cousin loves him. But not so me.
You're not even a gorilla fan. You hate all monkeys.
I like real life gorillas, not cartoon.
And I like lemurs because they're different.
They're basically cat monkeys.
Any ones that don't look monkey like, they're all right.
So yeah. Apes.
Yes, I like apes and I like lemurs. I don't like the little ones. I don't like orangutans very much either, though.
Kai really doesn't like orangutans. They're bad.
It's their proportions. They're like so weird and gangly. It's
they terrible. Do have some weird fucking proportions, I will admit.
I don't know. I like the weird proportions. They
just scare me. But chimpanzees are the worst. Like, those are the ones I really don't like.
Orangutans always look so chill.
Like, I can handle an orangutan. It's chimpanzees. I can't do it all.
I don't know. They just look... I can't describe it, but they just look... Orangutans just look friendly.
They do look friendly, but they will rip your face off.
Most things will.
I don't like their, like, head flaps.
You mean their cheeks?
Well, they're like flaps.
It's kind of their cheeks. I think I know what you mean.
They have a special name. They're like specialized appendages, but I don't remember what they're
called. Oh, you're right. They do have their own special names. I wish I could remember what it was.
I think you're suffering from serious uncanny valley syndrome.
It's not even uncanny valley. It's just like, I don't know, man. Like, I have a phobia. I have a phobia with most primates.
Yeah, Kai really doesn't like them. Primarily because one time when Kai was a child, his dad forced a Curious George doll in his face.
Yeah, he would, like, hold it in... Like, he would, like, literally hold it against my face. And I would be crying and crying and crying, and he wouldn't stop.
Not I will say though that I think to me the proportions don't bother me until I look at the skeletons, like the orangutan skeleton that I posted.
Yeah,
but specifically, it's the really long toes and fingers that fuck me up.
See, I don't like the really super weird. Long arms. Like arms, long are arms almost as long as your body
are a very ugh. Scary thing to me. Not in like monkeys and stuff, but like. You draw a monster with uncomfortably long forearms, that's going to immediately crank it up on the creepy
scale. Yeah, it makes them scary, because they got the reach. They can get you.
I wonder if that's because we used to have a lot of problems with other primates.
Maybe.
What, why we don't like big, long arms?
Like uncanny, weird-looking human thing. The sort of human, not quite human things.
Yeah, they used to be big competition and would eat us if they were bigger than us.
Yeah, but we know it, that Neanderthals didn't quite look like that, so
I don't know. I don't think any of the homos, the homos as in species, homos as in species, other species under the genus of Homo had super long arms, so I might be wrong.
I think a few of them were like somewhat longer than normal.
Yeah, but I don't mean like orangutan type proportions.
Right.
But that's enough about the homo genus. Staff.
Not allowed.
Staff, I think, was pretty good. Oh, I should also mention that there's a Chunky Kong shrine somewhere on BGSU. I was not told where it was. I'm sure if I went there, I would know where it was. Staff was good around.
Hold on. What? We missed a question. How? What? How were the gamer rooms? The only gamer room they had was so frustrating because all you could do was buy games and that was it.
Yeah, I don't like gamer rooms that are just bring your own games and then you can buy games, especially since there's nothing wrong with selling me games. Like I'll buy them. Like I'm usually looking for a place where I can buy games. But sometimes the selections are just not like good enough.
It's not good. They're just not enough.
Well, you also go so you can try out new games.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it would be good if they had the option where you could, like, rent a new game and then buy a copy if you wanted to, if you really liked it.
Yeah.
But they didn't have God, that. It was purchase only.
When I was at Con tonight, you don't know how much I was like trying not to buy the Dune board games. So they were like $60, but I was like, I have the money, but I don't want to.
Could always get it online for probably cheaper.
Maybe I wasn't getting it at the con. I was getting it at an actual store. But regardless, the one thing though, because there's a monster. There's this huge Monster Hunter World board game. Also, now that I look at it, they were selling it for like MSRP, which is good. I don't like people who mark shit up too much. But there's this huge Monster Hunter World board game and like this massive box. I think the box is like 10 pounds. It's like $120, and I swear if I go to that game store again near Jake's house, I'm gonna buy it. It looks so awesome.
I think we've played that on Tabletop RPG.
You probably played it on Tabletop. I mean, I haven't played it on Tabletop Sim, but I do know it is available on there.
I feel like we definitely have.
I haven't, but you might have.
It sounds really familiar. Could you like upgrade your gear after fighting monsters and you like?
I think so.
Okay. Was there like a time limit overall for the game too?
I don't know how it's played. But like, here's like the Wildspire Waste expansion on Amazon. Let's see if that jogs your memory.
I'll take a look here.
The little miniatures look really nice.
Yes, this is the game we played.
Is it fun?
It is really fun. Yeah. Let's find enough. You should play it on Tabletop Sim first though, because it's very weird the way that it plays.
I mean, I think if a game is fun, I think it's worth getting in person to play. Especially, I guess, like now since we've been meeting up a lot more than we did over the pandemic.
Yes, that is true. Definitely especially, try it on there first, though.
Especially because I like it's nice to have games to bring to cons in situations where the tabletop room is like that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, I was glad you brought some exploding kittens.
You know, I'm just as a thing. Exploding kittens and red flags is just going to every con.
And every gathering, because
yes, and we need to get back to playing Super Fight, especially since I bought the Super Fight Super Chest, so I can better carry all of my Super Fight cards.
We need to start combining our games. We need to make exploding red flags.
Exploding red flags.
Yeah, were you?
That sounds scary.
I don't know how you work the exploding part into it, but I'd love to use all the creepy fucking awful
what cat do we designs have? In the super red date.
Super date. Which date can beat up the other dates?
So you play like red flags, but you use you don't use the white flags. You just use the super fight cards to make dates, and then you red flag them.
That's funny.
Oh, you could also combine it with that one thing with like the tools and abilities. I forget the name of that one.
Rescue? Danger.
Danger. Yeah, you combine it with
we can make a guy
super danger date.
making you a date who is then going to save you.
Yes. Super danger date.
What else we got in terms of questions? We got chuds, no chuds. I think we mentioned attendees. I guess let's conclude.
Yes.
Yep.
I really enjoyed it. I think the only thing that it could really use is just a gaming room where you can actually like rent out the games. That would be nice. Because we tend to spend quite a bit of time at cons in the gaming room playing various stuff. Mm-hmm. And also just having more things to do. I think there was quite a lack of like activities outside of either the panels that were running or the dealer's room. Makes sense because, you know, it's a college, so it probably has less funding than some of the major cons, but I would have liked to see maybe I don't know, like what we saw at Yoma, where you could like
We're going to a con in Florida, or the summer called MetroCon, and they're running a silicone and resin workshops.
Oh, that would be really cool.
That would be really cool.
Which, I mean, they got a I'm pretty sure they got a department that could host something like that at BGSU. Yeah, I would say the same. Just like, I guess, like, just take advantage of the fact that you like you're at a university. You know, I'll give a quick recap of like Kanjanai a bit here, but like Kanjanai was significantly like smaller than BGSU, and I'm like, this is fucking U of M. Like, this is a town, and it's like, what, you've confined this con to like 1.5 floors of the language building?
Yeah, that's a little lame if it's that small.
I think it would be good enough to do 3 days if the university would let them, but
That's a little hard, though.
Yeah, the universe probably just doesn't let them.
But, yeah. Any more thoughts?
Hold on. My dad's calling me. I'll be right back.
Do you have any more thoughts, Kai?
Not really. As I said, I would just like more stuff to do. I think that's a problem with cons in general, though. Like, a lot of them don't plan for anyone to be doing something outside of like panels and meetups and whatnot, but I would like there to be, I don't know, just more general activities,
more things available to do. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, because you end up, especially if you're like hosting panels, you end up having like weird random bouts of downtime for quite a long time usually. So it'd be nice to have more stuff to just like pad that. And I'm sure like a lot of the thing is like none of us really go to meetups for like cosplays and stuff, so I think that's,
yeah, that definitely end is up where people being... will spend a lot of time, I would imagine.
Oh yeah, for sure, especially the people who are super into the cosplay scene. But I think it would be nice to have more things to do. Like, the ribbon game is kind of cool because you can walk around trying to find, you know, people who are giving out ribbons and whatnot. And as I said, painting minis would be good too. I think that would vastly become my favorite con activity. But yeah,
just painting ribbons, not ribbons, minis.
I think all cons need the con foam, the foam fighting.
Oh, that would be fun too. Yeah. And just stuff like that, more games and stuff. Hell, like, I'm sure the university has like cornhole laying around, so you could play cornhole.
That'd be great. I'd love that.
Yeah, because Colossal Con does like a cornhole thing. They do a lot of outdoor games, actually. I believe.
Oh, and my my college had a giant chess set, so like it was.
And the cons usually have that too.
Yes. So they need stuff like that out where you can play like just more games and fun stuff like that. I would even like if they just sat us down with freaking like anime themed coloring sheets or whatever. Like, just printed like 1,000 copies of like Pikachu or something.
That'd be cute. I'd love that. Yeah. When they start hanging them up all over the place on the last day.
That would be really cool. Just more stuff. That's my complaint of cons in general, though. Need more stuff.
We need more stuff.
And I think we both would go again.
Yes, I would definitely be willing to go again, especially if Samurai Dan has more panels.
And more Pro offerings. ZD. I think all cons should just have Pro ZD.
I agree with that.
He's a top-tier guest.
I'm amazed that he went there. It feels like an out in the middle of nowhere place, but I guess that's probably why he went, just to have some fun.
Well, he's a Michigan native, actually.
Really?
Yes, I believe he went to U of M.
Okay, well, that would explain why.
Remember, but yeah, he was living in Michigan for quite a long time, which is why he was a regular con guest at various Michigan cons.
Interesting.
Oh, it does look like we're getting to the hour here. So we'll cut it off here and we'll talk about Kanjanai next time. We hope you all enjoyed this little recap, and we'll join you for the next one. We love you.